Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked about this throughout the show here today. The Brian Flores lawsuit that has been filed against the NFL, Steve Wilks and then Ray Horton, former Titans defensive coordinator, joining that lawsuit yesterday against the NFL, and some old comments by Mike Mularkey coming to light as well from the Steelers Realm podcast back in September of 2020, where in those clips and in those comments, Mularkey essentially said that he was aware heading into the 2016 coaching search that he was going to be the head coach of the Titans, and apparently found this information out before they even conducted interviews with some of these other candidates for the job. What's kind of your take on this situation and the Titans statement that they've released since then in these allegations and just everything that's going on right now with the Brian Flores lawsuit situation and now how this pertains to the Titans?
You know, it's just a bad day for the Titans. And again, the Mike Mularkey interview coming from 2020 was quite a surprise yesterday. I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, wow, bombshell. And it's like September of, and what was it, like Steelers Realm? Like, how did no one pick up on this? And if someone did, by the way, like in Titans media or even like just like Titans fans who are active on social media, it's like somewhere you would have expected that to surface. It never crossed my face. So I don't know. That was surprising. The quotes are pretty damning from Mularkey. There's just no reason for Mularkey to lie. Yes, he's bitter, and that's fine. He also calls himself out in this for being part of this. And someone on the text line earlier said, yeah, well, he still did it. So, you know, if he still had the job now, he wouldn't be saying this. And I agree. Now, would he have said it 10 years after retiring somewhere down the road? Maybe. You know, did he say it? Would he have still held it back if he didn't have some bitterness about how it all ended? Maybe. But it doesn't make it untrue. I mean, let's be real. Anybody here who was paying attention to the situation knew that he was going to get the job, including GMs who were interviewing to be the GM. And so the Titans statement of all the things yesterday was really the abomination. I mean, it was bad. And look, maybe Roger Goodell wrote it himself. I don't know. Roger Goodell needs to work on like not randomly capitalizing words that shouldn't be capitalized, an all-time pet peeve. But it's I don't know what this means for the Titans in terms of the lawsuit itself and their part in it and all that. I have no idea. If they put out the statement they put out, I got to think they feel pretty good about not having any receipts out there that would further back up what Mularkey said. Sure hope so, but it's a bad look. And again, we know that these things happen. We know that the Rooney Rule is routinely just satisfied with a check on the box with interviewing a minority candidate when a lot of times teams fire coaches, they already know who they're going to hire. I think that's what happened with Mike Vrabel. I think the Titans knew for sure they were getting Mike Vrabel. And Mularkey said that too. And it sounded bitter, but I think he was also right. So this happens all the time. But still, if you are individually called out on something, and I don't think telling the coach is very common. I've never heard of that. Obviously, it requires an interim coach getting the job for that to even be possible. But it's a bad look. And I don't know what it means beyond that. But this thing is, I mean, this lawsuit is going to be a big story for a while.
The statement from the Titans yesterday, quote, "Our 2016 head coach search was a thoughtful and competitive process, fully in keeping with NFL guidelines and our own organizational values. We conducted detailed in-person interviews with four talented individuals, two of whom were diverse candidates. No decision was made and no decision was communicated prior to the completion of all interviews. While we are proud of our commitment to diversity, We are dedicated to continued growth as an organization to foster diversity and inclusion in our workplace and community. End quote from the Titans yesterday, with our commitment to diversity capitalized.
Yes. So another thing that comes, there's a few things. One, the Ray Horton specifics of this to me are secondary. He's actually technically wrong. His interview did not satisfy the Rooney Rule. The Tara Lawson interview that was at one point the first two people interviewed were, of course, Malarkey, the interim coach, and Tara Lawson. And Tara Lawson's interview satisfied it at the time, because at that time the rule was that you had to interview one minority coach. Now it's two. But, I mean, Ray Horton did not satisfy that. It was already over. And all the stuff like Kaharsky, Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com, put out, you know, his story. There was a lot of stuff back and forth. Jason Wolf from the Tennessean had Ray Horton, or the Fritz Pollard Alliance, saying that Ray Horton was upset the day after Malarkey was hired. Then Ray Horton had told Paul Kaharsky, no, actually, he wasn't upset. Yep. And he told Wolf the same thing, and he wrote that story too. So that's relevant to the lawsuit. It's completely expected if you look at the situation. I mean, the quote, do I have that up here? I mean, the quote is like basically, no, very happy with yeah. Amy, and I'm still under contract, and she loves my ideas. And all. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to say you're mad about something when you're not trying to burn a bridge and when you still may be employed by the team. So, I mean, that's no surprise. The point here is not that he should have gotten the job, and the point here is not that the Titans are a quote-unquote racist organization. That's taking it too far. It is a problem collectively, and now they are specifically called out for being part of the problem.
I got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com that says, is it really wrong for a company to know who they want to hire and because of some rule they had to have a sham interview? It's not the Titans' fault that they had to interview a minority. This is coming from a texter.
Right. I mean, I look, this is the situation. It happens all the time. If the Titans' defense is, this happens all the time, people, and you know it happens all the time.
Right.
I'm way better than that. We had a competitive process with Warren. It was very close interviews. And yes. You know, like, don't lie to us. Don't put out statements that are flat-out lies.
Right. Like, look, I remember that time. It's not a surprise that Mike Malarkey got the job. I mean, they were awful. And Ken Whisenhunt got fired, and Malarkey came in, and the players loved him. So, like, I mean, I wasn't surprised that Mike Malarkey got the job. And we've said this a few times here on the show today. Like, nobody is saying, at least I hope not, that you should have to hire so-and-so because of what they look like.
You
like,
can
you just
never
can't
do
that. No. So that's not what we're saying. But, like, to just openly admit to the coach that, hey, by the way, you're hired, but we're just going to have to go do these things. Like, yes, it happens throughout the league. I don't know if I can recall a situation where they just, like, openly tell the coach, hey, we're getting ready to go do this, but don't worry. It's your job.
Well, and if you really want to just take it away from the Rooney Rule and stuff, I mean, I'd still have questions about anybody I was going to hire. I would want him to go through the pressure over the interview.
Well, and keeping in mind, it's not like Mike Malarkey's record heading into you hiring him as your coach was going to blow you off the map. So what if you get in an interview and somebody does really well and you're like, huh, well, maybe this could be a better way to go.
And that's the whole thing with the Rooney Rule. I mean, yes, to the texter's point, agree, 100%. Teams so often fire someone and know who they want next.
And it very well could have happened with Mike Vrabel.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure it happens most times. I mean, honestly, it's not great to just fire someone and then have no idea. But the Rooney Rule does force the interviews, and it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. It has not had the desired effect. But you do, like, to me, if you're running the business with this much at stake, you should have somewhat of an open mind to talk to people and be like, wow, actually, that guy was really impressive. Or that woman, by the way, which is something that I think we can probably at some point move into, maybe in the 3000s, you know, a woman being a head coach in the NFL. But that is part of the Rooney Rule as well, by the way. And so just having people forcing these discussions, to me, there's still value in it, and it can still lead to good things.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. This baseball season, turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. So that's something that you're going to want to take advantage of right now. Major League Baseball is underway. Opening day was yesterday, and they're back at it again today. You got the Yankees and the Red Sox today, the Dodgers and the Rockies as well. Give me the Dodgers to win the day, but you can take it any way you want to take it. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB, and get started with your risk-free first bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays at First Horizon Park. Pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:20 and first pitch is at 6:35. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Spirited Hive, and Days Delta 8. This weekend's games include Saturday versus Durham pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35 on ESPN 94.9, and Sunday pregame at 1:50, first pitch at 2:05 on ESPN 94.9. I do wonder if on Sunday maybe the pregame show could feature Jeff Hem describing my first pitch a little bit.
Well, I mean, I just wonder if after your first pitch, if people are even going to be able to focus on the baseball.
Well, probably not.
Like when they see a feat of that kind of athletic magnificence, what else is there to watch?
You know, I've already thrown a strike, so I wonder if I should, like, last year was right down the middle, strike. Should I go, like, behind the back or something? Maybe switch this thing up a little bit, or just go 50 cent and throw it completely sideways.
I was going to say, you do like a Denard Robinson one, just try to do the absolute worst first pitch ever thrown.
Yes. Maybe so.
But I think that you should be on the mound, and I think you should try to throw a breaking ball. And if you can get your breaking ball over for a first pitch, that's no one tries that.
No. Might have to break out the old knuckle curve.
Then you're going to blow your elbow out. But still, it'll be worth it.
Being a cast next week, too. It'd be great. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got a texture that says, do y'all think this will affect us getting a new stadium? Talking about the situation now with Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans.
I mean, the quick answer is no. I mean, look, and this is an embarrassing thing, and the lawsuit is going to be very fascinating to follow. I really don't have a great feel for where it's headed, what might come of it, but winning and money are still they're still what people care about, and I will say that. This is the first negative thing, really, for Amy Adams Strunk, right?
Yeah.
Now, granted, there was, well, I shouldn't say that. There was criticism when she fired Mike Mularkey, which I think was fair, and I took part in that. And there was criticism when they drafted Jeffrey Simmons, which I think was fair, also took part in that. But, you know, that's two things in 6 years of largely wildly successful ownership where, to me, like the Nashville perception of the franchise has changed dramatically, largely because of her. I don't think this is going to affect it, but this is one of those things where, you know, someone probably will bring it up at some point. People who oppose the idea, and there will be people, will bring up, okay, and meanwhile, you've got, you're going to believe this owner who said this and this and this, and it was a lie to the people, you know? I mean, sure. It'll come up. Is it actually going to impact it? I'd be very surprised.
Dennis on the text line says, if it's okay to know who you want to hire beforehand, but the Rooney Rule dictates that you have to interview a minority with the goal of people at least getting to speak to GM/owners, how is it a sham? It's accomplished exactly what the rule intended. This coming from Dennis on the text line.
Well, I mean the rule is intended to
have more hires.
Yeah, have more minority coaches hired. Said the stat earlier, I don't have it right in front of me, but it's like 40 of 326 from 1990 on. When 1990 is kind of a good place to go back to. You know, that's 12 years before the Rooney Rule, but Rooney Rule has not made a huge impact in that people have hoped it would and have tweaked it and things like that. Again, there's value in it because of what you just said, but the point is to get people hired. And again, no one should ever be told, this hire, you must hire this type of person, or you must hire this person. That, of course you can't do that. You hope that, you know, it's just like the numbers over time. If you have enough reps, enough different conversations and opportunities, that there will be more people open to doing something different and being intentional about diversity.
Randy on the text line says, is there a difference between hiring and promoting? It seems like the Rooney Rule shouldn't apply if you're going to promote from within the organization. Wasn't Arthur, Arthur Smith promoted from within? There's no logic in having to interview any outside candidate, minority or not, if you're really promoting from within. If not, you post the opening outside the organization. Then those who apply, apply. If no minorities apply, then that's on them. That's coming from Randy on the text line.
Well, okay, long story short, yeah, even if it's an internal candidate, they need to interview just like everybody else, and the rule states that you have to interview two minority candidates now. That's the rule. So if there's a rule in place and you break the rule, even if everybody does it, if you get isolated for that, then that's on you.
Well, and, you know, this happens. I mean, we've seen a lot on the text line today of, like, this happens with every team throughout the league, and that's kind of the point. It does happen with every team throughout the league, and I don't know. Should you scrap the Rooney Rule? I don't think so, but I don't know what the perfect solution is. Like, obviously, the rule is not doing what they intended for it to do. But again, I don't know what the solution is. Like, if you get rid of the rule, that's not going to help either. I don't think so. I don't know what the solution is as they move forward here.
I mean, to me, I agree. I don't think you scrap it. You can keep trying to tweak it. They've tweaked something now with having to have people of color on offensive staffs, things like that. They keep trying different things to improve the pipeline. But the pipeline is, and that's one thing that has improved over the course of the Rooney Rule. What was the stat I said earlier? Like 6% up to 22%. Yep. You know, you think about that. You know, go back 20 years in a league, again, it's about 70% black, 6% coaches are black. So, I mean, the pipeline has actually been improved. The hires still aren't being made. To me, it comes down to, although we look at owners as a conglomerate, and in some ways that's the right way to look at it, they are individuals. Al Davis hired Tom Flores in 1979, first person of color ever to be a coach in the NFL. He hired Art Shell in 1989, first black coach to be a head coach in the NFL. And Art Davis, I mean, he did what he did what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he recognized the value of diversity, but I think basically he looked beyond the implicit biases that people have and just he was a trailblazer in that way. It basically comes down to owners who are open to this. So maybe it comes down to, over time, younger people taking over their family fortunes.
I got a text that says, so what happens if you don't interview a minority candidate? Is there a penalty or a fine? Have we ever seen anyone
Do
it?
I'm sure there is. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is off my head. I can look at it, try to find it. I mean, people don't do that. And again, that's also beyond the rule. I mean, it's bad PR too to say, nah, forget that.
Yeah.
Five white guys, get in here.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it's interesting to see what this is going to do from here. I mean, to your point about the statement from the Titans, like, that statement to me kind of seems like there may have been some direction from the NFL in there too. Because at the end of the day, the lawsuit that Brian Flores has put together is against the NFL now that Ray Horton and Steve Wilks have joined. It's not like the Titans are getting sued here, but it is against the NFL itself here, and that's where the lawsuit is coming from.
Right.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the statement that the Titans put out there at least some form or fashion of it maybe comes down from the NFL.
Exactly.
At least some guidelines.
So here's one. In fact, how ironic. Today we had Tom Izzo on. This had to do with his best friend and Iron Mountain buddy growing up, Steve Mariucci. The Lions, Matt Millen in particular, was fined $200K back in 2003 over the hiring of Steve Mariucci. Because one way or the other, they violated the rule. They were found to have violated the rule. So, you know, that's the thing with this lawsuit. Like, some of these teams, including the Titans, could face their own separate penalties as well. But yes, overall, it's an NFL lawsuit. And that statement by the Titans just feels like an NFL statement.
Yeah. By the way, can we get to a comment on YouTube, by the way? Like, there's people going back and forth on YouTube. And Zoe on YouTube, going back to like the statement part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe on YouTube says, somehow Robbie and Jared will find a way to blame Tannehill for the Titans releasing this statement. What do you mean me? How did I get involved in this?
So are you the third Tannehill tattletale? You're joining up with Jared and Caroline, huh? I didn't know.
Robbie's getting framed.
Where is this coming from?
Robbie, you're getting framed.
Zoe, are you a burner account from Jared? How many burner accounts does Jared have? Heidi? Zoe? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Robbie and Jared will find a way to blame Tannehill for the Titans releasing this statement. What did I do?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
I mean, are you getting mixed up? Now, his hatred for Mariota, clear. Complete disrespect for Mariota. But yeah, I've never really thought
of
you.
As I've said many times here on the show, really love Marcus Mariota as a person.
Yeah.
Just want to make it clear.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good morning. Good evening. I like Mariota, too.
He did that walking in the building the other day for the Falcons, too. Like, there's some video out
really?
There of, like, I guess him and his wife or fiance or whoever walking in the Falcons facility, and he's like, good afternoon. I'm like, never change, Marcus.
Like, if they could lose 40-10 to the Jaguars, be the absolute worst, most disastrous day at come to the presser. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
He did get mad one time, though, and then his mom yelled at him for being mad.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Amazing.
Miss you, Marcus.
Randy on the text line says, so when Arthur Smith became offensive coordinator, was he hired or promoted to a higher level job? They had to interview minorities knowing Mike Vrabel wanted Arthur as his offensive coordinator. There's no logic at all with that. This is coming from Randy on the text line.
So, yeah, they did. They did interview other people.
Yep.
So, I mean, again, it's the same thing. It's you need to interview person of color for these jobs. Again, no one is saying you need to hire a specific person, but you need to do the interview process. And it hasn't had the intended effect. I understand what you're saying. I understand the complaints about it. It's certainly imperfect. But conversations happen that wouldn't otherwise happen. That's what I keep falling back on.
Jim on the text line says, the Titan statement is a bunch of malarkey in all capital letters. Obvious lawyer PR speak. That's the second malarkey joke that's been made today. Good stuff.
Yeah. And I don't know, was that one spelled properly? Because the malarkey, as in that's a bunch of malarkey, is with an A-L.
He spelled it with A-L.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. The thing is, like the Titans, I knew they'd put out a statement. I said this earlier, but I figured it would be a lot more vague than that.
Yeah.
Sort of like, we believe in our processes and we stand by our searches and we believe in diversity. Thank you. But they actually went there and said that search back then was it was legit all the way.
Yeah.
What a way to go. I've yet to hear from anyone in the Titans organization who has a problem with the written or spoken take on how ridiculous that is, by the way. I've heard some not negative takes on it.
Yep. Coming up next, it's time for weekend winners here on the program. Lots going on this weekend. The Preds in action, the Masters in action as well. We'll get to all of it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of action this weekend. Let's get to it. Before we get rolling, Joe Rex Road, a quick standings update in the competition. How are we doing in weekend winners?
You had the best week What was your? You were the only one who got your lock, which was UNC. So you locked up UNC. You went 3-3, got 4 points. I went 3-3, 3 points, missed my lock, which was the Preds against the Sabres. Michelle 2-4, 2 points, missed her lock, which was Louisville. We are now essentially deadlocked at the top. Although I'll list myself first because I have a better record, which is a tiebreaker. 27-15, 32 points, 5-2 locks. You are 26-16, also 32 points, 6-1 in your locks. Pretty big time. Michelle 20-22, 21 points, 1-6 in the locks. It's the locks.
Gotta go. I'm just so bad.
You gotta go Costanza. Gotta go Costanza on the locks. Let's like Robbie during football season.
That's right.
Yep.
That in mind, let's get rolling. We've got two Preds games this weekend. We'll start with both of those. We'll go puck line on this. Preds and Panthers coming up tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Joe, we begin with you. Who do you have winning this game between the Nashville Predators and the Florida Panthers?
I'm going Preds. That's a really good team fighting for the President's Trophy, if you want the President's Trophy. I think basically they're going to be the one, right? They're going to be the one pretty much. I mean, not for sure, but they're in good shape to
be the
one.
They're in a good spot.
In the East, but really good team. Should be a really entertaining game. Right now the Preds, they found a way last night, a little wobbly. I loved how they stepped up in a big game the other day. I think they step up again tomorrow in a big game at home.
I'm going to go Preds as well. I think my advice would be to take the over in this game. Florida can score with the best of them. I think the Predators will be able to score as well. I think Florida's a little loose defensively, and I think sometimes this happens too when you're kind of playing out the string. They're in the playoffs. They've literally already clinched a playoff spot. They're fighting for the President's Trophy. Sometimes you can get a little loose coming down the stretch because you're just trying to get to the end of the season. So I think there will be a lot of goals in this game. I'll take the Preds to win 5-4, the final score in this matchup. Michelle Knezvik, Preds and Panthers. Who you got on the puck line?
Guys, 3-3. I'm taking the Preds too, I think. The environment in Bridgestone. It's an early game, right? Isn't it an early
5 o'clock, yeah.
5 o'clock, yeah. I think it's going to be a good atmosphere in Bridgestone. Give me the Preds.
All right, the Preds on the road on Sunday in the second half of back-to-back, taking on Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'll start on this one. Give me the Penguins. Preds played really well against the Penguins the last time at Bridgestone Arena. I think the Pens get their revenge. I mean, the Eastern Conference part of this is really, I mean, the eight teams are pretty much set. But it's just kind of the order of what those teams are going to look like at this point. But I think Pittsburgh wins in the second half of a back-to-back, so I'll go Penguins on the puck line. Michelle, Preds and Penguins coming up on Sunday.
Give me Penguins.
There seemed like there's some hesitation there.
See, I feel like we've seen...
She almost went for the Preds.
Well, we've seen this with the Preds, right? They'll have two or three great performances like these last two we just saw, and then they'll go up to Buffalo and lose to that young team. So I think they're going to win one, lose one this weekend. Give me the Penguins, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Joe Rexroad, Preds taking on Pittsburgh coming up on Sunday.
All right, I'm changing my pick. I was going to go Penguins too, but we can't all have the exact same pick. So give me the Preds. Preds still don't like the Penguins. Penguins are kind of, they're almost locked into the three, you know, having to play the Rangers without home ice. I mean, that's still possible that they could get that 6 points behind. But give me the Preds.
Which game are you
weekend
giving,
sweep?
Which game are you giving Saros? Big save Dave going tomorrow against Florida, who he's already beaten one time this year, or are you going against Pittsburgh?
I'm going Saros tomorrow, big save Dave Sunday. And big save Dave is gonna be big save Dave, according to me.
I like it. All right. Tiger Woods, 1-under par right now as he enters play today. Does Tiger Woods finish in the top 15 in the Masters this weekend? Yes or no? Michelle, we begin with you. Tiger finishing in the top 15, yes or no? And if your call you shot Friday is any indication, I think I may know which way you're going.
100%. I think that Tiger knows his body better than anyone else. All of us looking from the outside in are like, how is this guy doing it? I feel like, I mean, just the walking in that course 4 days, I don't think he would put himself in this position if he didn't think that he'd be able to perform at least the level he would like to. I think winning it is definitely a called shot, but top 15, give it to me for Tiger.
Joe Rexroad, Tiger Woods, will he place in the top 15 this weekend at the Masters? Yes or no?
No, and make it my lock.
Lock it down.
And I know I hate to be Debbie Downer here.
Surprising to make your Tigers your lock.
Well, maybe I – well, I can't do Robbie, it now. Robbie has double locked before.
I have.
And we just let him get away with it. Look, I hate to be a downer here. I think today there's going to be some reality physically hitting him. I think he'll probably make the cut, which would be great. But then I think he's going to fade through the weekend.
I say yes. I say he makes it in the top 15. It's going to get windy out there today. And I think his experience on that golf course helps. He's played Augusta a ton of times. I think he will smartly. I'm not going to say – I don't think he's going to be in contention to win. I think he'll finish a few strokes back. But top 15, I say he'll finish 14th or 15th in the tournament. So I will go yes because of his experience at the golf course. I don't feel good about it, but I'm going there anyway. We move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Knezevic, we begin with you, your first individual selection.
White Sox -1.5 over the Detroit Tigers. Make it my lock, and you are welcome, Joe Rexroad.
Wow, White Sox -1.5.
How does that make you feel?
Over the Tigers. Very happy about that, too.
Makes me feel good. Can I go now? Because I'm doing the opposite of you.
You go right ahead.
Yeah, in your face.
So you're going, Joe?
I'll take the 1.5. Gladly.
So +1.5 against the White Sox. I like it. Give me some Nashville SC. Taking on Kansas City this weekend. I'm going draw. I'm picking it out. Draw. I think the odds on FanDuel are like +200 for the draw. It's pretty good value. I will go +200 something for the draw. So Kansas City and Nashville, they finish with a draw this weekend. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Islanders, Hurricanes, over under 5.5. Give me the over all day.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Islanders, Hurricanes, over under 5.5. Going over all day long on that one. With my second individual pick, I will go the St. Louis Blues on the money line against the Minnesota Wild and make it my lock. Minnesota favored by 1.5 in this game. I could take the easy way out and just go St. Louis +1.5, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say they win outright. The Blues take down the Minnesota Wild. I don't know how much of a believer I am in the Minnesota Wild. Give me the Blues as a lock against the Wild. Michelle Knezevic, your second individual selection.
Okay, second one, sticking with baseball. Opening day, even though it's cold here, it just really doesn't feel like opening day. Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees. I touched on this one earlier. Boston is +1.5. Give me Boston on this one.
Okay. Look at you and all the Sox. A lot of Sox.
White Sox, Red Sox.
Going on out there. All right, I'll kick us off on our final round of individual selections. Give me the Colorado Avalanche -1.5 against the Winnipeg Jets. Tough loss for Winnipeg the other day, and I think reality is starting to set in for the Jets. I'm not saying that they're just going to totally give up, but they're at 76 points, 71 games played, which means they are 10 points behind the Predators, 8 points behind the Stars. They're not making the playoffs, and I think they're starting to figure it out. So I think Colorado rolls -1.5 against the Jets. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
So one of my favorite things of this week was the one shining moment, Lakers edition. If you haven't seen it, people, please go find it. It's amazing.
Incredible.
It really is. And yet, Thunder Lakers tonight, Lakers -5.5. I'm actually taking the Lakers. I think they're going to have. I think they've got one angry performance left in them.
Who's
going to
play?
To show, I don't know. Whoever's going to play is going to play with fire and vigor against a horrific team. And I think the Lakers are going to show people they still got some Lakers pride. Give me the Lakers. I'll give the 5.5.
Okay.
They're going to win with their bench.
All right. Michelle Knezevic, your final individual selection of the week.
I'm heading over to the NBA as well. We've got Hawks, Miami Heat. The Hawks are favored by 2. Give me the Miami Heat on this one. I think they're looking great as we're heading into playoffs soon.
I don't think they're going to play anybody.
Oh.
Oh, you said it already.
They've already locked up the one seed, so I think everybody's going to be sitting down.
Well, then give me the Hawks.
All right, I guess we can do that.
See, I didn't, really finish it. Robbie, I appreciate you because I didn't know that.
Your buddy Kevin Herter. I mean, you got to go with him.
Yeah.
Come on.
We'll do over for 3 threes. How about that?
I would not be surprised if Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Kyle Lowry are all sitting for the Heat. So.
Yeah, this is from now on, it's going to be fun to have the NBA, and I'll probably be exclusively NBA. But like this weekend is a tough one.
Yeah. Well, next week will be playoffs, so
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right.
Then we
It'll
can
be
go.
Good now.
Oh, yeah.
came quick.
Oh, yeah. Real quick. This has been Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex. Well, we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dennis texting in says, none of you picked the huge Premier League game this weekend. Liverpool takes down Manchester City 3-1. This is coming from Dennis on the text line. Joe, did you consider going with Premier League matchups?
Are you kidding me, Dennis? That is a terrible pick. If we had more time in this segment, I would undress you on that pick. Ridiculous.
We're not that far away from me maybe getting back into some Australian rules football.
Oh, yeah, man.
We'll see what happens on that front.
Did you ever win any of those?
Like maybe twice.
Yeah. That's good. I still need to figure out the scoring.
We'll continue to take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked about this throughout the show here today, the Brian Flores lawsuit that has been filed against the NFL, Steve Wilks and then Ray Horton, former Titans defensive coordinator, joining that lawsuit yesterday against the NFL, and some old comments by Mike Mularkey coming to light as well from the Steelers Realm podcast back in September of 2020, where in those clips and in those comments, Mularkey essentially said that he was aware heading into the 2016 coaching search that he was going to be the head coach of the Titans, and apparently found this information out before they even conducted interviews with some of these other candidates for the job. What's kind of your take on this situation and the Titans statement that they've released since then in these allegations and just everything that's going on right now with the Brian Flores lawsuit situation and now how this pertains to the Titans?
You know, it was just a bad day for the Titans, and again, the Mike Mularkey interview coming from 2020 was quite a surprise yesterday. I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh wow, bombshell. And it's like September of, and what was it, like Steelers Realm? Like how did no one pick up on this? And if someone did, by the way, like in Titans media or even like just like Titans fans who are active on social media, it's like somewhere you would have expected that to surface. It never crossed my face, so I don't know, but that was surprising. The quotes are pretty damning from Mularkey. There's just no reason for Mularkey to lie. Yes, he's bitter, and that's fine. He also calls himself out in this for being part of this. And someone on the text line earlier said, "Yeah, well, he still did it. So, you know, if he still had the job now, he wouldn't be saying this." And I agree. Now, would he have said it 10 years after retiring somewhere down the road? Maybe, you know. Did he say it? Would he have still held it back if he didn't have some bitterness about how it all ended? Maybe. But it doesn't make it untrue. I mean, let's be real. Anybody here who was paying attention to the situation knew that he was going to get the job, including GMs who were interviewing to be the GM. And so the Titans statement of all the things yesterday was the abomination. I mean, it was bad. And Look, maybe Roger Goodell wrote it himself. I don't know. Roger Goodell needs to work on like not randomly capitalizing words that shouldn't be capitalized, an all-time pet peeve. But it's I don't know what this means for the Titans in terms of the lawsuit itself and their part in it and all that. I have no idea. If they put out the statement they put out, I got to think they feel pretty good about not having any receipts out there that would further back up what Malarkey said. Sure, would sure hope so, but it's a bad look. And again, we know that these things happen. We know that the Rooney Rule is routinely just satisfied with a check on the box with a interviewing a minority candidate when someone else, when a lot of times teams fire coaches, they already know who they're going to hire. I think that's what happened with Mike Vrabel. I think the Titans knew for sure they were getting Mike Vrabel. And Malarkey said that too. And it sounded bitter, but I think he was also right. So this happens all the time. But still, if you are individually called out on something, and I don't think telling the coach is very common. I've never heard of that. Obviously, it requires an interim coach getting the job for that to even be possible. But it's a bad look, and I don't know what it means beyond that. But this thing is, this lawsuit is going to be a big story for a while.
The statement from the Titans yesterday, quote, "Our 2016 head coach search was a thoughtful and competitive process, fully in keeping with NFL guidelines and our own organizational values. We conducted detailed in-person interviews with four talented individuals, two of whom were diverse candidates. No decision was made and no decision was communicated prior to the completion of all interviews. While we are proud of our commitment to diversity, we are dedicated to continued growth as an organization to foster diversity and inclusion in our workplace and community." End quote from the Titans yesterday. With our commitment to diversity capitalized.
Yes. So another thing that comes, there's a few things. One, the Ray Horton specifics of this to me are secondary. He's actually technically wrong. His interview did not satisfy the Rooney Rule. The Terrell Austin interview that was at one point the first two people interviewed were, of course, Malarkey, the interim coach, and Terrell Austin. And Terrell Austin's interview satisfied it at the time because at that time the rule was that you had to interview one minority coach. Now it's two. But, Ray Horton did not satisfy that. It was already over. And all the stuff like Kaharsky, Paul Kaharsky, PaulKaharsky.com, put out, his story. There was a lot of stuff back and forth. Jason Wolf from the Tennessean had Ray Horton, or the Fritz Pollard Alliance, saying that Ray Horton was upset the day after Malarkey was hired. Then Ray Horton had told Paul Kaharsky, no, actually, he wasn't upset. And yep. He told Wolf the same thing, and he wrote that story too. So that's relevant to the lawsuit. It's completely expected if you look at the situation. The quote, do I have that up here? The quote is like basically, no, very happy with Amy, and I'm still under contract, and she loves my ideas. And all. Yeah, you're not going to say you're mad about something when you're not trying to burn a bridge and when you still may be employed by the team. So, that's no surprise. The point here is not that he should have gotten the job, and the point here is not that the Titans are a quote-unquote racist organization. That's taking it too far. It is a problem collectively, and now they are specifically called out for being part of the problem.
I got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com that says, "Is it really wrong for a company to know who they want to hire, and because of some rule they had to have a sham interview? It's not the Titans' fault that they had to interview a minority." This is coming from a texter.
Right. Look, this is the situation. It happens all the time. If the Titans' defense is, this happens all the time, people, and you know what happens all the time.
Right.
I'm way better than that. Than we had a competitive process with Florida, and it was very close interviews. And yes. Don't lie to us. Don't put out statements that are flat-out lies.
Right. I remember that time. It's not a surprise that Mike Malarkey got the job. They were awful. And Ken Whisenhunt got fired, and Malarkey came in, and the players loved him. So, I wasn't surprised that Mike Malarkey got the job. And we've said this a few times here on the show today. Nobody is saying, at least I hope not, that you should have to hire so-and-so because of what they look like.
You can never do that.
No. That's not what we're saying. But, to just openly admit to the coach that, hey, by the way, you're hired, but we're just going to have to go do these things. Like, yes, it happens throughout the league. I don't know if I can recall a situation where they just, like, openly tell the coach, hey, we're getting ready to go do this, but don't worry, it's your job.
Well, and if you really want to just take it away from the Rooney Rule and stuff, I mean, I'd still have questions about anybody I was going to hire. I would want him to go through the pressure of the interview.
Well, and keeping in mind, it's not like Mike Mularkey's record heading into you hire him as your coach was going to blow you off the map. So what if you get in an interview and somebody does really well and you're like, huh, well, maybe this could be a better way to go.
And that's the whole thing with the Rooney Rule. I mean, yes, to the texter's point, agree, 100%. Teams so often fire someone and know who they want next.
And it very well could have happened with Mike Vrabel.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure it happens most times. I mean, honestly, it's not great to just fire someone and then have no idea. But the Rooney Rule does force the interviews, and it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. It has not had the desired effect. But you do, like, to me, if you're running the business with this much at stake, you should have somewhat of an open mind to talk to people and be like, wow, actually, that guy was really impressive. Or that woman, by the way, which is something that I think we can probably at some point move into, maybe in the 3000s, you know, a woman being a head coach in the NFL. But that is part of the Rooney Rule as well, by the way. And so just having people, forcing these discussions to me, there's still value in it, and it can still lead to good things.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This baseball season, turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. So that's something that you're going to want to take advantage of right now. Major League Baseball is underway. Opening day was yesterday, and they're back at it again today. You got the Yankees and the Red Sox today, the Dodgers and the Rockies as well. Give me the Dodgers to win the day, but you can take it any way you want to take it. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB, and get started with your risk-free first bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.